In 1 Kings chapter 18, we're talking about Elijah and the story about how he met with Ahab and he met with the false prophets upon Mount Carmel. He actually challenged Ahab upon Mount Carmel, and they said, "You bring the false prophets together." And he said, "You let them put an offering, put an altar and an offering on that altar. Put no fire under it." And he said, "And I'll do the same." He said, "And you call on your God, and I'll call on my God. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God." And we know the scripture says that they went through and they did all their stuff. They danced, they hollered, they screamed, they prayed, they called on Baal from morning to evening, and there was no answer. And then the prophet had the nerve to make fun of him and say, "Well, you need to maybe yell a little louder. Maybe he's on vacation or something. Maybe he's asleep. He's taking a nap. You got to wake him up." And they got angry, and the Bible said they jumped up and down on the altar and broke it down, and they cut themselves with lancet until blood gushed out all over the place. And then when they were done with all of their activity, the prophet jumped up and took his place, and he began to pray. And he prayed a short prayer. He said, "Hear me, O Lord," in verse 37, "hear me, O Lord, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. They said, 'The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God.'" Hallelujah. 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 What a mighty God we serve. I want to key in just for a few minutes tonight on this verse, maybe a verse that you might not have paid much attention to, but it just stood out to me, especially I think since Brother Kent made the statement that he did about being a pest to the devil. He made that statement about being a pest to the devil, and that kind of just stuck out and just kind of caught my attention, and then I began to realize, you know what, there's a scripture in the Bible that says something about that. And so here it is in verse 17. "It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, 'Art thou he that troubleth Israel?'" He said, Ahab looked at Elijah and said, "Are you that pest? Are you that troublemaker? Are you the one that's causing all the problems in Israel?" Now, let me say this tonight. I'm going to prophesy tonight that somebody is going to leave this house tonight with an attitude, and somebody's going to draw a line tonight, and you're going to knock the devil right out of your life. Somebody's going to go home, set some stuff straight. You've been putting up with some of the devil's mess long enough, and he's caused us grief and pain in your life, but the tables are turning tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The title of this message may seem a little funny to you, may seem a little strange. I'm talking about blessed are the troublemakers. Somebody say, blessed are the troublemakers. Now, as I said, it may sound a little strange to you when we're talking about a man of God, because as Christians, we've been instructed that we're to be peacemakers. Matthew 5 and 8 tells us, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." We know Jesus as the Prince of Peace. But what we misunderstand sometimes is that peace does not mean that Jesus was in agreement and that he was in harmony with the spirit and the attitude of his day. In fact, it was said of Jesus on many occasions that there was a division because of him. We could say that there was a contention because of him. There was irritation. There was a disturbance. Or we could even just use the word trouble. Jesus himself said, "I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword." The sword, the word sword used here means a large knife used for killing animals and cutting up flesh. It goes on, another definition is fighting or strife or fight or combat of persons at variance, a quarrel. Matthew 10, 34 through 36, Jesus said, "I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be those of his own household." In other words, what Jesus said was, "I'm come to cause trouble. I came to disturb you. I came to start a fight. I came to force you to choose a side. Jesus was a troublemaker. He stirred up agitation and trouble everywhere he went. And he was much like Elijah. Elijah was a troublemaker. In this sense, he was forcing Israel to choose sides. His very existence agitated and irritated Ahab, and especially Jezebel. Elijah made Ahab miserable. Elijah was a man of God who spoke the truth without compromise, without fear, and without favor. Can I tell you, my friend, there's such a tremendous need today for men and women of God like Elijah to stand up in our pulpits, in our homes, in our schools, in the White House, and declare what thus saith the Lord. Sadly today, the attitude that prevails in our land is be tolerant, be agreeable, be harmonious, be peaceful, be open-minded, accept everything, be a peacemaker, don't rock the boat. But friend, I can't help it tonight. I feel that Elijah anointing on me, and it's that troublemaker anointing, and I didn't come to join the alliance. I'm not interested in making everybody happy. I'm not trying to find a happy medium where we can all get along. I don't want to jump on the political correctness bandwagon. In fact, my friend, political correctness is just another way for saying lukewarm. And Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I spew you out of my mouth. He was saying lukewarm makes me sick. But I came tonight to draw a line between right and wrong. A line between true and false. A line between sin and righteousness. A line between dead religion and the power of God. For too long, the church has tried to blend in, to go along and get along, to be tolerant, to not be judgmental. And the church has become so mixed up and so confused, and every kind of worldly, perverse, and ungodly thing has slipped into the church. I know I'm hoeing close to the road tonight, but I know I'm telling the truth. So please don't get mad at me if I tell the truth. Social drinking has snuck into the church. Gambling, homosexuality, wife swapping, shack up, fornication, adultery, pornography, and now the church opens her arms to embrace religions that don't even recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God. They're anti-God. They don't even recognize the deity of Jesus Christ. They promote the godhood of self. They reject the blood of Jesus as the only remedy for sin. You say, man of God, you better be careful. Preaching like that, you might stir something up. Friend, that's what I came for tonight. I came to stir something. Oh, I came to stir something up. I came to cause some trouble in the house. I came to agitate the devil tonight. I came to draw a line tonight. I'm praying that before I finish, a whole lot of people get stirred up. See, my name is Terry. I know that's the name my mom and dad gave me. But for tonight's message, you can just call me Troublemaker. Look at somebody, tell him, you look like a troublemaker. I want to stop here and just say something tonight. There are all kinds of people in this world. There's sweet and kind and considerate people. There are those that are caring and compassionate people. They give you the shirt off their backs. There are those who are always looking on the bright side. They always see the best in others. There are those who never meet a stranger, and they've got a kind word for everybody. These are the kind of people that make you feel good. You like to be around them. They can turn bad situations around with their positive outlook and their attitudes. Then there are other people who are mean and spiteful and hateful and selfish and rude and inconsiderate, and they don't care about anybody but themselves. These are the kind of people nobody wants to be around. They bring a negative atmosphere with them everywhere they go. Then there's another type of person that I want to mention before we move on, and that's the troublemaker. This is the person who's known for messing stuff up. this person lays awake at night trying to think up ways to cause confusion and destruction. This person is not happy unless they're tearing something up. They're so committed to this attitude and behavior and lifestyle that they're known as troublemakers. When you see them coming, you hear yourself saying, "Here comes trouble." I'm trying to build this message tonight, but I feel something pushing me. I just wonder tonight what the devil's crowd says about you and me. I just wonder if we carry enough of the fire and the power of God that we even disturb the devil. When seven sons of Sceva tried to cast the demons out of a man, the demons spoke up and they said, "Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you?" And then the Bible says the men possessed by demons beat them up and they ran out of the house naked and wounded. What those demons were saying was this: Jesus has made trouble for us. He's on our list. We know him. We got to watch out for him. Paul is on our list too. He causes trouble for us all over the country. But we don't see your name on the list anywhere. I just asked myself tonight the question, and I wonder if you would ask yourself this question. Did you make the list tonight? I don't know about you, but I want to be known as a troublemaker. I want to make trouble for the devil. I want to make it hard for people to go to hell. I want to make it hard for people to stay sick. I want to make it hard for the discouraged and the depressed to stay discouraged and depressed. I want to make it hard for hypocrites to feel comfortable in the house of God. I want to make it hard for God's people to stay broke. I want to make it hard for false prophets and hirelings to fatten their pockets by preying on the ignorance or the simplicity and the generosity of God's people. I don't want anyone walking away from here tonight wondering what I'm talking about. I've got a responsibility to make the message clear, to lift up the downcast, encourage the discouraged, and warn the wicked to flee from the wrath to come. Friend, you can call me old-fashioned, and you can say I'm stuck in the mud, but it's not the mud, it's the blood. It's not the mud, it's the blood, it's the blood. I can't get away from the message of the cross. I can't get away from a Savior who shed his blood for me. It's the blood that saved me. It's the blood that heals me. It's the blood that delivers me. It's the blood that broke Satan's power over me. It's the power of the blood and nothing but the blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I came here tonight to make trouble for the devil. I came to tell you in no uncertain terms, there's only one way to be saved. And that's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ who died for your sins. I came to tell you that hell is real. And you will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. There are multitudes in hell tonight because they rejected the love of the Savior. I love you too much to not tell you the truth. I know there's a damnable doctrine being preached today called the gospel of inclusion. It says everybody is saved already, they just don't know it. This doctrine says that God is love. He would never send anyone to such a horrible place as hell, if there even is such a place. This deception rips the heart out of evangelism. The very heartbeat of evangelism is the recognition that man is a sinner, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that our sins have separated us from God and condemned us to an eternal hell, but that by believing on Jesus Christ as our sin sacrifice, we are forgiven, we are redeemed, and through faith in Jesus' sacrifice and his blood that was shed for us, we're brought into right relationship with God and we're prepared for heaven. Somebody said, "Man of God, you're preaching too hard." Well, friend, here's the truth. I'm not running for office. I'm not trying to get a vote. My aim is not to make friends, but to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You shall know the what? Truth. And the truth shall make you what? Free." I want to be like Elijah. I want to be a troublemaker for the devil. Oh, hallelujah. Could you just lift your hands for a moment? Shy, I feel God stirring something in the house. I feel something stirring up in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is raising up Elijahs, I'm telling you. In this hour that we're living, God's raising up some men with some backbone of steel. Some women with some backbone of steel. Some women and some men of God that are not going to compromise. They're not going to dilly-dally. They're not going to be back and forth. They're not going to be in and out. You're going to know what they're saying. They're going to say what thus saith the Lord. And you can like it or you can lump it. You can believe it or you can reject it. But we're going to tell the truth because it's the truth that will set you free. It's the truth that will deliver you. It's the truth that will save you. It's the truth that will rescue your soul.
Thank you, Lord.
I feel something tonight. I feel a rumbling in the spirit. I feel the spirits of godly men and women being agitated, being stirred up. I believe we're standing on the edge of a tsunami. I believe there's a wave of God's power that's getting ready to hit the church. I believe there's a powerful anointing in this place tonight. I believe that God is raising up some modern day Elijahs. I believe God is raising up some modern day troublemakers. And you're going to leave this place tonight and you're going to shake things up everywhere you go. Hallelujah. I finally realized one day that God wasn't calling me to preach just to make people happy. He was calling me to preach to make people holy. He was calling me to preach, to bring people into right relationship with God. And sometimes to bring people into a right relationship with God, you have to rebuke sin. You have to lift up a standard of holiness. You have to call people to the cross. I love you. But I'm not going to sugarcoat the word. And I'm not going to soft soap it. Just so you'll like me. And so you'll want to come hear me.
Thank you, Lord.
There's a spirit. You hear what I said? There's a spirit in this generation. There are things that I hear happening right now. I can't even mention them from the pulpit. They're so vulgar. And they're happening in broad daylight. And they're happening in public squares. Such perversity and such vulgarity and such immorality. There's a spirit that's trying to destroy God's people. It's trying to destroy the church. And we've got to get a backbone about us like Elijah. And we've got to stand up in the spirit of Elijah. And we have got to stand up against the spirit of compromise that's invading the church. We've got to stand for the truth. We've got to stand for righteousness. Somebody says, if I do, I'll be criticized. Yes, my friend, you will likely be criticized. Yes, my friend, they'll call you old-fashioned. Yes, my friend, they'll say that you're a law preacher. They'll say that you're trying to bring us under condemnation. I'm not trying to bring anybody under condemnation. Therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, which walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. I'm not trying to bring you under condemnation. I'm trying to bring you into the liberty of the Spirit. I want to bring you into right relationship with God. Sin separates you from God. I want you to understand tonight, Jesus paid a supreme price so you could be free from sin, not so you could sin and continue to sin. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is the power to conquer sin. Grace is the power of God to give us the ability to put sin underneath our feet. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. The blood of
Jesus is not to cover our sins so we can keep on sinning. The blood of Jesus is to wash away our sin, but it doesn't just wash away our sin. The blood of Jesus goes to the root of the sin nature. And the blood of Jesus is like an axe that it cuts the root of the thing. It roots it out of you. And so that the sin nature is destroyed. And you have no more nature to sin, but you've got a nature of righteousness. And righteousness becomes your nature. And doing right and doing good and pleasing God becomes your nature. It's my nature to do good. It's my nature to do right. Well, do I ever fail? Oh, yes. Do you ever make a mistake? Oh, yes. Ever do something you shouldn't do? Oh, yes. Do you ever say something you shouldn't? Oh, yes. What do? Repent.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. The blood of Jesus. Amen.
Repent. How often do I need to repent? As many times as you sin. There's a mindset going around today that one time was enough, that I repented, and now that I repented, that's like saying one bath is enough. If you take one bath, you're clean the rest of your life. You never got to take another bath. So you go into the bathroom and get your toothbrush. What are you doing? I'm brushing my teeth. Well, didn't you brush them last week? Yeah, I brushed them last week. Well, you don't need to do it every day. And once enough. Friend, as many times as you fall, you've got to ask forgiveness.
Thank you, Lord.
As many times as you sin, you got to ask for forgiveness. There's a spirit of compromise. It's stripping the power out of our messages. It's stripping the power out of our messages. Preachers don't want to preach pure word anymore. They want to preach a word that lifts up Jesus and lifts up the cross and magnifies what God has done for us through the cross and through His sacrifice and through the blood. My friend, I'll never get away from it. I can't get away from it. And it's not old-fashioned. Somebody says, well, that's old-fashioned. It's not old-fashioned because this Bible never gets old. Every word in this book is as real and as fresh as the day that it came forth from the mouth of God, and God spoke to a prophet or a man of God or a woman of God, and they wrote it, they penned it. I'm telling you, it's just as fresh as it was the day it was spoken as the day it was penned. It is just as relative today as it ever was. I know we're living in a wicked and a perverse generation, but I'm telling you, the Bible says that we can shine as lights. We can shine as light in the midst of a crooked and a dark and a perverse generation. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet tonight. I'm not going to hold you much longer. And I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I feel God wants to do something in this house. I want everybody that will to join me in the front of this building tonight, because I'm going to pray a prayer tonight. I'm going to pray a prayer tonight for the spirit of Elijah to fall on you. I'm going to pray a prayer tonight for that same audacity. I said that same audacity, that same boldness, that same power, that same unction, that same steadfastness, that same spirit of Elijah that would not compromise. Why halt you between two opinions is what Elijah said. He said, why are you going back and forth between the two? Why are you limping back and forth from this opinion to that opinion? Blown about with every wind of doctrine. He said, you need to get a backbone. You need to get some stability. You need to get rooted. You need to get grounded. You need to get established upon the Word of God. And I'm going to pray tonight. I'm going to pray tonight that God will put a backbone of steel in every one of us. I'm going to pray tonight that God will give you boldness. That God will give you boldness and audacity. That God will give you the anointing to stand up for righteousness and stand up for truth. Father, come on, lift your hands right now. Lift your hands. Father, for everyone standing here tonight, I pray, God, let that troublemaker anointing, let that spirit of Elijah fall on us tonight. Let that boldness and that audacity of the Holy Ghost in power, let that spirit of truth, Lord God, let that authority and that power, God, rise up inside of your people. God, give us a backbone.
them an authority, Lord, to rebuke sin, to cast out the works of the devil, to cast out devils, to cast out sickness and disease, to cast out the works, to cast out the evil and the perverseness, God. Let the spirit of fire, let the spirit of holy fire fall on your people tonight, God. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost, God, fall on us tonight, God. With that same power, that same fire, that same unction, that same anointing, God. There was a born Elijah. There was a born Apostle Paul. There was a born Jesus Christ. There was a born Peter, Lord. There was a born John. God, let that same anointing fall on your people tonight, God. Let that same fire fall on us, Lord. That spirit of no compromise. No compromise, God. That spirit of steadfastness. That spirit of truth, God. Unto everyone that believes, in the Jew first, in the Greek, in the Gentile. God, we're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of the blood of Jesus. We're not ashamed of the old rugged cross. We're not ashamed of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. We're not ashamed, God, to claim heaven as our home. We're not ashamed, God, of to recognize that you've delivered us from an eternal hell. Lord, we're grateful and thankful tonight, God. Hallelujah. We love the Muslim, but I'm telling you, we don't worship the same God. I love the Buddhist, but we don't worship the same God. We love people. We got to understand there's a distinction. There's a difference. You can't just blend everything together so we can get along. There's a mindset today and a mentality that the grace of God and the sacrifice of Jesus' blood covers us. And so it doesn't matter what we do, we're covered already. Got you covered. Friend, I believe that's true in one sense of the word. One sacrifice on Jesus' part was enough for all time. But forgiveness and mercy can only come to the repentant. If we sin, we confess our sins. And the Bible says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. That's the power of the blood. That's the power of the blood. There's no sin that the blood cannot purge. There's no disease that the blood cannot deliver us from, cannot heal us from. There's no sin rooted in the person, in the nature of sin in a man. There's no sin in that nature that the power of the blood of Jesus cannot root up and deliver us from. God has given us boldness. I'm telling you, some people may get upset when you tell them things like this. I'm going to tell you something. At the same time, they're going to come back at some point. They're going to say, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth. There are churches across the country today that are placating and that are just patting people on the back and just soothing. And you know, you have you ever heard the saying that says, if it rubs the cat the wrong way, let the cat turn around.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But we're so used to in so many churches today, they're just rubbing the cat just so the fur just goes down. He's very comfortable, never disturbed. And if you ever rub the wrong way, the cat gets whoa. But let me tell you something, it may rub you the wrong way. But if it brings you to the Savior, if it brings you to the knowledge of truth, it brings you to the place of right relationship with God, it's worth it. And in the end, you'll say, thank God for that preacher that I thought was so mean. Thank God that he told me the truth. He loved me enough to tell me the truth. Would you just lift your hands one more time tonight and thank God for his truth? Thank him for the truth. Thank him for the Holy Spirit. Father, we love you tonight. Holy Spirit, we love you. Lord, we thank you for the truth tonight. Lord, it's the truth that liberates us. It's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that empowers us. It's the truth, Lord, that takes the power of the enemy and breaks it off our life. It's the truth, God, that will set us free. It's the truth, God, that will open the prison doors, Lord God. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, as you're leaving, going back to your seats, I want you to find at least five people. Now I want you to shake their hand real good. I want you to look at them. I want you to tell them. I said, you look like a troublemaker to me. You look like a troublemaker.